Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Hi, Randy. I'm punctual, right?
Oh, you're right on time. Perfect.
That's right. That's how I operate. So,
yeah, same here.
Good. So let's get started. So first of all, why don't you tell everyone what's your background that puts you in? You're the vault keeper at Walt Disney. Is that true?
I'm a supervising producer and music historian.
Okay.
Yeah, I had an interest in music. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a Disney animator and realized it was too much math. And when I got into high school, I was in band, and my high school band director, John Hensley, he taught me how to edit audio tape and would let me do arrangements for band, and I thought I was going to be a high school band director, but I don't have the patience for it. And I was involved in theater in high school and all that kind of stuff, and I didn't really know where I was going. And I started working at Art Center College of Design, running their theater there, and working in the issue room in the photo and film department. And one of the students, Brad Ewan, got a job as an editor at Disney. And I just said, you know, if there's any openings, just let me know. And he let me know. I applied, and I got a very nice rejection letter. Saying that there wasn't a position of mutual interest at the time. And so I, you know, brushed that off. And about a few weeks later, I got a phone call asking if I'd like to come in for an interview. And not knowing what the position was, I went in, filled out their full application there. And they arranged for a second meeting and then decided to call a gentleman by the name of Ron Kidd to see if he was available right then. And that's when I found out that I would be the clerk for the music company, which is essentially their gopher. I was in charge of the master tape vault.
Oh, where is the master tape vault?
Well, originally it was in the prop warehouse building where the new animation building is now on the lot. And we were based on the lot in the ROD building. And
what was the guy's name? Ron Kidd, like R-O-N-K-I-D-D?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
He was the director of product development for, then it was called Disneyland Vista Records. And
what year was this?
This was 1987.
Okay. And so at that point in time, did Disney have much in the way of product that they weren't selling much physical product at that point, right?
Oh no, we were selling. That was all of our business. It was all physical product in 1987.
But really?
Yeah, we were still pressing vinyl, and we had the read-along business, which was the book and tape thing. You know, it's time to turn the page when you hear this sound. We were doing soundtracks, and we're doing a lot more children's albums.
That's what I would have thought. Children's,
yeah. Yeah, a lot more children's albums.
Were they doing much vinyl in 87?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was primarily our business, vinyl and cassettes. We had, our only CD was a couple years before, was the Irwin Castle digital re-recording of Fantasia.
Right.
And one of my first jobs, actually, Ron and Ted Kritzko, and his last name is K-R-Y-C-V-K-O, they had pulled soundtrack elements to build our first two CDs produced in-house. It was called the Disney Collection. It was a greatest hits album. And one of my jobs was to sit down with the analog transfers that they had made and take notes on what any artifacts or any of those things that I could hear throughout those tapes. And I'd come back with a big stack of notes and everything, and Ron was very pleased and goes, well, we're going to have to keep an eye on you, aren't we?
So they gave the gopher a chance, and you took advantage of the chance and did
it. Oh, yeah. Well, one of the things also that happened, you know, I had a trailer out in the back lot. That's where we had our product library and essentially my office. And on the desk, I had a little Alf doll. And Ron came out to visit me one day and said, Alf, you know, those folks are asking us to do product on them, you know, some read-alongs and things. Do you think it would be a good series? you think it'll be on for a while? And I go, oh, yeah, it's really funny. And he goes, well, why don't you write an outline of what you think that first read-along would be? So I wrote an outline based on the pilot. And while I was working on that, I'd come up with about three other ideas. And they all went into production. I ended up writing the scripts for two of them. And that kind of started things going. And then after we had released the CDs of the Disney Collections, Volumes 1 and 2, Ron was out in my office. Well, actually, we were out in the tape vault. And I had mentioned how great the stuff sounded on CD, particularly Mary Poppins. And I had an alternate motive behind that. You know, my high school band director was a big fan of Mary Poppins.
So let me interrupt you for a second. So, Living Mary Poppins, you had tape of that orchestral score, or you had 35 mag style? How did that exist?
Well, what had happened was I had suggested doing the album, because a lot of rock bands at that time were going back to the original masters and remixing them for CD. And so I was hoping to get that done with Mary Poppins. Even though I was still the department clerk, I wouldn't be producing it or having anything to do with it, really.
How did it exist on analog tape on 59
PS? Yeah, the original album. Yeah, the original album did. The original album master. And Ron said, you know, I'd really love to, but you know, we had just re-released it on vinyl a little while ago, and it didn't do very well. We would need something really special. Well, when I first went out to the vault after I got the job, I started going through tapes. I mean, this vault was essentially the masters of all the records I grew up with.
Wow.
And I came across this one tape that said Mary Poppins pre-demo. And I pull it out, and I pop it on the machine, and I start listening to it, and it's just two guys at a piano singing songs from Mary Poppins. Some of them had different lyrics. Some of them were harmonized in a different way. And there were a bunch of songs that I had never heard of before. And I realized that that was the Sherman Brothers demo tape that they created for Walt.
Wow. Now, that must have been exciting. That must have been a tingling sensation.
It blew me away. I mean, it's history. Yeah. And when I was talking to Ron about doing the soundtrack, he said, you know, I'd love to. It's one of my favorites, too. But the last pressing didn't do very well. We would need something really special to go back and pull the elements and redo it. And so I pulled this demo tape off, and I said, do people know that this is here? And they didn't. Ron ended up calling Dick Sherman, and even the Sherman Brothers thought it was lost 25 years earlier.
Wow.
So that was what the Kickstarter was to get Mary Poppins completely reconstructed and back on CD.
Right.
And I also wanted to include Erwin Postel's underscore as well. But, you know, this was a test. It was like our 16th CD ever. So it was just primarily the songs. Well, a lot of the problems were, you know, well, and that's one of the problems that we're having now. If you go back to the old album masters, the tapes that were used to cut the lacquers, you know, they have the RIAA curve on them.
That's weird. Why did they do that?
Just to make sure that the master was what was...
Because, you know, the cutting systems have the RIAA, they can add that
right
later.
Right. Well, to be honest with you, you know, the record label wasn't really taken seriously. You know, we were a part of Consumer Products, and we were just another entity.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Yeah.
And, you know, even though, you know, Ron Kidd and Ted Kutzko, they had a technical understanding of the things, and quality was important to them, too, but the higher-ups weren't. You know,
yeah, I get. Listen, I was at Disney. I when I was there, it was a similar kind of situation, actually.
Yeah.
So,
and this was, you know, honestly, Disney didn't really come back into their own until after The Little Mermaid hit, and I came in just before that. So, you know, they were having some troubles.
Now, did they get out of vinyl at some point when CDs took over?
I believe our last vinyl was the Roger Rabbit soundtrack. By Alan Silvestri.
Yeah, at that point in time, yeah.
At that point in time. Yeah. There was planned a Little Mermaid vinyl, but it was scrapped at the last minute. And it was
What
on the
year was that?
big
What year was
screen.
that?
I think in 89.
Right. That was about
88, 89.
the right time for that to be kind of cut out.